All right, this question is for former Mayor Soglin from Mayor Cislevich. If being mayor is the toughest job you've ever loved, why did you leave your last term early?
I was running. We took bets. We took bets in the office. That was the question that we all figured was coming. I've got the answer. I was in the middle of a congressional campaign. We'd been at it from January through the summer and had made absolutely no traction in terms of gaining on Scott Klug. And one of the things that I discovered from a lot of voters, I don't think they were in this audience, but from a lot of voters was that they were very comfortable with Scott Klug as their representative in Congress and with me as mayor. And basically, they were not going to support me for Congress because they wanted me to continue being mayor. Well, I made a very, very tough decision, and I sort of took that option away. And that's why I announced my resignation, and it actually had an effect, and I started doing better and better in the closing weeks of the campaign as people realized I was not going to be mayor. It was a very tough decision. Do I regret it? Yes, I do. I do. I do, not for personal reasons, because of so much of what happened after I left office in terms of the city not getting control, for example, of its future in terms of the arts, all the problems that subsequently happened with Overture. I regret it because of what happened with Epic Systems leaving the city of Madison. I take responsibility very seriously for those things, and certainly for a lot of the problems related to employment that we discussed. And both of these candidates for county executive are right in parts. I'm not saying they're wrong, but combined to give one of the things that's very much of concern to us that needed to be addressed. Go talk to the folks at Workforce Development, and Dane County is the least prepared for the future. And we've got to have something, we've got to solve this cruel irony of retirees coming in the next 5 to 10 years and all those households in poverty that don't have great jobs.
And I need to ask you to stop there, former Mayor Soglin. Thank you.
This question is for Mayor Cislevich from former Mayor Soglin. The city now heavily subsidizes the Overture Center. The center's current financial plan relies on an increase in independently promoted events like those traditionally performed here at the Barrymore. Do you agree that in building up the Overture, this may endanger the Barrymore and this neighborhood?
Well, good question, Paul. Thank you. obviously, I hope not. Here was the situation we faced with Overture. Overture had a $28 million debt on it, and it had that debt because the council did something over my objections in 2005. They essentially gambled on the stock market, and they said, we're going to take half of Jerry Fauci's money, $100 million or so. It's going to earn 8.25% every year in the stock market, and all God's children will be happy. And I said, yeah, I don't think so. I don't think we're going to earn 8.25%. I strongly oppose it. The council overrode me, and they went ahead and did it, and the whole thing went belly up. And a building we could have had for $1 in 2005, if we had gone the route I wanted to go, now had $28 million in debt on it by the time it got to 2008. So in order to solve that problem, Jerry Fauci and some other generous donors, Joe Sensenbrenner and others, came forward and said, look, we will help solve that problem without any city money involved, but here's our ideas about how this is going to go forward. We negotiated an agreement with those donors that I thought was very good. It accounted for having the building continue to be in public hands, public ownership of the building. I thought it treated the workers fairly, and I thought it had a chance for success. The council didn't see it that way, and they went with a somewhat different plan, which now has the building essentially owned by a nonprofit. In exchange for that, we increased the city subsidy. It went from $1.4 million a year to $2 million a year. And the idea was that that extra $600,000 would go to the capital costs that the city was now taking on under the old plan. if you follow all that. And so as part of the whole agreement, the nonprofit that runs Overture is going to have to raise somewhere in the neighborhood of $2 to $3 million more a year to make the whole thing go. And it's my belief they can do that. I think there are generous donors in the community, supporters of the arts, who will do that. And I think they can do it. I hope they can do it. It's our plan that they can do it without hurting other venues.
Thank you, Mayor Cislevitz.
For the next segment of the People's Candidate Forum, we will now return to the questions submitted in advance by residents and neighborhood associations. This question is just for the candidates for county executive, and the order will be Supervisor Bruskowitz and Representative Parisi. It's a long question, so bear with me. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has several programs intended to coordinate efforts with local law enforcement. These programs have come under community criticism for failing to comply with priorities mandated at the federal level to target quote-unquote high-threat immigrants for deportation from county jails. For example, those charged with terrorism, aggravated felonies, violent and gang crimes. Instead, these programs are engaging in blanket deportations, and as a result, nationwide, a vast majority of deportees through these programs are non-criminals and people innocent of the crimes they are charged with. Is it important to you to ensure Dane County compliance with the priorities that only immigrants convicted of high-level crimes be transferred to ICE? If so, how will you do this? Supervisor Bruskowitz.
If someone is convicted of a high-level crime and they're here illegally, I think they should be turned over to ICE. I think that's what the sheriff is doing, and I support that, but only at the high-level crime category.
All right, thank you. Representative Parisi.
Thank you. Yeah, this is a concern to me, and I know that there's a concern currently with the Dane County Sheriff's Department. I look forward to, you know, having a discussion with the sheriff to come up with a solution. And the concern is that anyone who's undocumented is being turned over to ICE right now. And I think if someone is convicted of a dangerous crime, that, yeah, we have to do that to protect the community. However, my concern is that when anyone, you know, if it's a minor crime, knows that they're facing ICE, or more importantly, if people involved with them know that that person may be facing ICE, that it endangers other people. For example, when you have a domestic violence situation and, say, the victim of domestic violence is concerned that if she reports someone, whether he's here legally or illegally, because there's a lot of fear, particularly in the Latino community right now, a woman may be afraid that if she reports someone, be it her husband or boyfriend, that he, along with she or their children, may be deported. And so we have a problem with victims of sensitive crimes having nowhere to turn. So that's my biggest concern in this. I want to have that discussion. I hope we can find a middle ground by which people who are clearly dangerous go to ICE, but that we make our community a place where victims of crimes feel safe to report those crimes. Thank you.
Thank you.
And now a related question just for the mayoral candidates, and the order for answering will be Mayor Cislevitz, then former Mayor Soglin. When a county sheriff office is engaging in blanket deportations, there arises a concern about the erosion of trust between law enforcement and communities, and this is exacerbated with the present fear of Arizona-style policies that target and racially profile immigrants being passed here in Wisconsin. What would your role be as mayor in reconciling the relationship between police and immigrant communities? Mayor Cislevitz.
Yes. Again, we have a proud tradition and a policy here in the city of Madison we've had in place for many years, not to enforce immigration laws for the federal government. We're not going to change that. We will fight very strongly any attempt, and you can clap for that, sure. We will fight very strongly any attempt in the legislature to pass any sort of Arizona-style law. Now, I see that even Arizona is backing off on Arizona-style laws, in part because their own business community understands it's not good for them. So I don't really see legislation like that going very far, although, of course, we are dealing with a new world here. And Unfortunately, so many things that we thought were not possible 6 months ago are. But I don't think the trend is in that direction. And if it does happen, we will use every legal tool we have. We will work with the Madison Police Department, which is excellent on these issues, to resist those kinds of draconian policies.
Thank you, Mayor Chislevitz. Former Mayor Soglin.
I must observe that we've done about a dozen of these debates. And why am I not surprised that it's at the Barrymore that we get questions that are longer than the time period allocated for the candidates to answer? On this particular issue, Mayor Chislevitz and I are in agreement. And I want to just point out, though, that the city's got a long history of being very circumspect and very careful in dealing with these kinds of issues. There are other things that come up. There are sometimes foreign governments that will make contact with the Madison Police Department, particularly if they're interested in the political activities here in our community of nationals from their country. And we make it a policy, and I assume that the department still is under no obligation to cooperate and does not cooperate in those kinds of investigations. Some of you may recall Paolo Jordan, who was a graduate student here at the university in the early 60s. And Paolo was from South Africa, very much involved in the battle against apartheid. And eventually, the South African government did convince our government to deport him. Fortunately, Paolo made it to Europe, not to South Africa. And if you go do a search, you'll find that he was in Nelson Mandela's, the first appointees to Nelson Mandela's cabinet. This is something I think is extremely important. We ran into the same problem during the Iranian Revolution. And our city has no business compromising the civil rights of our own citizens or of foreign nationals.
Thank you, Paul Soglin.
The order for this question will be Representative Parisi, Supervisor Breskowitz, former Mayor Soglin, and Mayor Chislevitz. What are three distinct actions that you will do to expand low-income housing opportunities in the city and county? Representative Parisi.
Thank you. Well, initially we have to realize that housing issues have changed a lot along with this economy, and the number of people affected by a need for affordable housing has increased. So the first thing we have to do is realize that it is a regional issue, and that I think the county, obviously because the county engulfs all of the municipalities, needs to be a part of that and needs to work in cooperation with the organizations, not just in Madison, but within the rest of the county. And we have to make sure that affordable housing is available throughout the county, that it's not just seen as a Madison issue, and that it's available. Excuse me, I have laryngitis, and I'm trying to keep my voice here. And that it's available throughout the county. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Parisi. Supervisor Breskowitz.
Well, it turns out the vacancy rate has been falling, and so it's harder to find housing now. There are several things that we can do, and that one of them is to work with landlords when there are vacancies to help them locate tenants as well as tenants locating them. I think that the county tried to create a revolving loan fund, but was unable to do that. But there is a group of people that are in Madison that are working on that. I would invite them back. They kind of got shut out towards the end of their work, but invite them back to look at some new options. There are other agencies, and this would be the third thing, is there are agencies in the nonprofit arena that have developed housing and have done a really successful job of that. Depending where the jobs are and where people want to live, we can try and marry those things so that people will be able to find housing that is at affordable rates. Right now, the building industry is hurting pretty badly right now, and engaging them in building low-income housing or housing that is moderately priced, workforce prices, it's something that can be done. It should be done. We have not seen any kind of organized effort to do that at the county.
Thank you, Supervisor Breskowitz. Former Mayor Soglin.
One of the first things we'll do is we'll sit down with WEDA, the Wisconsin Housing and Economic Development Authority. While we have used WEDA very successfully in Madison, we've really never fully explored the possibilities, not when we compare ourselves to Milwaukee, for example, which has done just some spectacular housing, particularly workforce housing. And let's be very clear that one of the main problems within our community is that workforce housing is not available to the degree there is a demand. We're talking about households, again, with $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 incomes who cannot find adequate housing. We're going to further explore some of the partnerships that WEDA does, for example, like with employer-assisted housing, which the city is now involved. Second thing we're going to do is we're going to sit down with developers who've said they won't build in Madison. I'm specifically thinking of how Gary Gorman walked from our community, does marvelous stuff around the state, and we've got to sit down with developers, neighborhood activists, housing activists, and come to, in effect, a partnership and find out what have been the impediments to successful housing development within our community. The third thing that we're going to do, and this is not my idea, but it's really something I've learned during the campaign has come from discussions and listening, is I'd like to see us convene a conference on cooperatives within Madison, not just housing, but also food co-ops, dining co-ops, worker co-ops, and see how they can better participate in the city's economy and play a more vibrant role, what we can do to support them to further their goals. And the fourth thing that I'm going to do, you didn't ask for four, but I'm going to give you the fourth. Carol's... Zero. Hold that thought.
Thank you, Former Mayor Soglin. And Mayor Cislevich.
Well, I have four things, and I'm going to get them in under 2 minutes. First thing, we talked about the allied approach. That's reinvesting in private sector housing. The city did was go in there, buy the land, take down the buildings, and then essentially turn it over for free. So that was the subsidy. But upon that, you can build affordable housing and good quality affordable housing. That's a very successful approach. Secondly, city-owned housing, public housing. We're reinvesting in Truax. We just had a grand opening of the first units that we're reinvesting in Truax, a first reimagining of that place in 30 years. And you go there, and they are lovely homes, lovely places to live. Just because housing is public housing doesn't mean it should be substandard housing. It should be the best housing there is. Third, senior housing. We live in an aging society. 77 million of us are baby boomers. And as we get on in years, we're going to need to age in place. People, for the most part, want to age in place. They want to age in their own neighborhood. And so we're working on an innovative program on the south side to allow folks who live on the south side to move into senior housing there at an affordable rate. And lastly, the zoning code, to try to make all housing developments less expensive. We have a zoning code that's 50 years old. It's out of date. We're in the process of revising it to encourage building the kinds of neighborhoods that are right here in this neighborhood. This kind of neighborhood was actually illegal for a while. You couldn't have the corner store. You couldn't have the meaningful destination to walk to. It discouraged densities that allowed for frequent mass transit service. We need to get back to building those kinds of neighborhoods, and the new zoning code should accomplish that.
Thank you.
This question is just for the mayoral candidates, and the order will be first Mayor Cheslevitz, then former Mayor Soglin. How will you address a loss of funding for Madison Metro with the passing of the budget repair bill at the state level or through other means? Please specifically address the impact of your proposals on low and moderate income riders.
Yes, this is a perfect example of how collective bargaining works. The federal government gives Madison about $7.1 million a year in federal transit aids. A condition of that, and it's a good condition, is that you have a collective bargaining agreement in place. If let's hear it for the federal government. we just extended the Teamsters contract this evening. That's why I was a little late to as long as we possibly can under state law, to March 2014. And the result of that is that we will save 3 years of federal transit aids that otherwise would have gone away. It was a $21 million investment to the good, thanks to collective bargaining. That's the first thing we need to do and did. And the governor would cut transit aids by about 10%. And so what we need to do is, again, the first thing we do is fight that in the legislature, fight the Walker budget in the legislature. And for those of you who think that it's going to be difficult with Republicans, you know what? You're right. But even Republicans are starting to balk at this governor's policies. Just today, a group of moderate Republicans said, you know what? We think recycling is a good idea, and we don't think it should go away. And that's the kind of spirit that ought to catch on in the legislature, we think. And so the first thing we do is that. But let me tell you, Madison Metro is strong. It's healthy. We are actually growing the service. We're actually growing back its reserve. Metro had lost its reserve entirely a couple of years ago. We're growing that back. We need to continue to invest in the system. Things like hybrid buses save us money in the long run. We have 20 hybrid buses out there, thanks in part to the stimulus program. And we need to continue to do innovations like that.
Thank you, Mayor Cheslevitz. Former Mayor Paul Soglin.
Thank you. Independent of anything that the state has done, one of the first things we have to do is re-examine the existing route and service levels, both the fixed routes as well as the services for the elderly and disabled. There are several things we have to look at. We have to look at whether or not the hub system is working as effectively as this community demands. The second thing is we have to look at the evening service. Right now, after 7 and 8 o'clock, we've got these long-haul major bus routes going. I think there's other alternatives we ought to consider. For example, do we need all those buses on the road? And maybe we'd get better service if we were to supplement them with some kind of taxi or jitney system to supplement it. That may give more personal service, may be less expensive to run, and actually engage more riders. These are the kinds of ideas we have to think about in terms of the entire system. We have to understand, going back to when the city acquired the Madison Bus Company in 1970, that 13C agreement is vital to the health of our public services, our public transit system. The 13C system, which is what Dave referred to, is the contract that we have with the federal government that says that when the private employees of the old Madison Bus Company became public employees, we would not make their situation worse off in terms of their rights under any labor agreement. What the state has proposed is a complete violation of that 13C agreement. It's my position that the federal government is bigger than the state government, and that the agreement and contract we have under the 13C agreement, which is between the federal government, the city of Madison, and the union representing the workers, takes precedent over any legislation adopted by the legislature. We will not give in on that.
Thank you, former Mayor Soglin.
This question is just for the candidates for county executive, and the order will be Representative Parisi, then Supervisor Bruskowitz. How should the City of Madison and Dane County work together to produce a public transportation system that maximizes the results for the users, minimizes the cost, and distributes those costs fairly among the taxpayers throughout the county? Representative Parisi.
Thank you. I think the best solution is a solution that hopefully we'll move forward with at the proper time, and that's to create a regional transit authority. As a member of the legislature, I voted to create the legislation that enables us to have an RTA. Right now, there are some competing proposals in the legislature. There's been a proposal by Representative Robin Voss and Senator Glenn Grothman to eliminate the RTA. The governor's budget, however, has a version of the RTA that would require a binding referendum. And yeah, I'm actually okay with that because we weren't going to move ahead unless a referendum passed anyways. But really, an RTA makes sense in the long term. It provides a stable and spread out base of funding. It realizes that municipal boundaries no longer make sense when it comes to mass transit. There's no reason that, you know, a City of Madison bus should drive down Monona Drive and not stop in Monona on the way there. Ultimately, we need a balanced transportation plan. You know, we need roads, we need highways, we need paratransit, we need a regional bus system. And when the federal money, if and when the federal money becomes available and it's affordable, I believe that commuter rail should be a part of that. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Parisi. Supervisor Bruskowitz.
Having transportation for people is one of the key things. One of the things we studied in our Committee on Developmental Disabilities was how important transportation was to those folks. There is very limited transportation available, and that's something that we really have to work on. But I think the best way we can do this by optimizing the services and reducing the costs, keeping it really affordable to everyone, is not to start out with a RTA, a regional transit authority, that would impose a sales tax, and a sales tax hits the poorest the hardest. That sales tax would be about $35 million a year out of your pocket in perpetuity, and there was no real plan that the RTA had for services, for public transit services. We have some very excellent examples of public transit that I think we could build on, and we could do it in a way that would really be cost effective. The first example is Middleton. Middleton contracted with Madison Metro to provide bus service. I sit on the Metropolitan Planning Organization, which is a transportation planning board for this area that has the highest density population. And our customer service reports were that people loved that service. It cost the City of Middleton $21 per year per person to provide that service. If it was an RTA, it would cost $81 per year per person in Middleton. We can and for essentially the same service. Verona is another great example. Epic has many employees that wanted to use public transit. They worked. Epic and Madison Metro put a plan together. Now the City of Verona is entering that. There are ways to do it. It's far less expensive, and it's more effective. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is a question for all candidates, and the order for answering will be Mayor Cheslevitz, former Mayor Soglin, Supervisor Bruskowitz, and Representative Parisi. How will you ensure that our natural assets are protected, noting current problems and pending threats to funding and regulation? How will you coordinate efforts between the city and the county? And please be specific in addressing issues of clean lakes, safe drinking water, and clean air. Mayor Cheslevitz.
Sure, I can do all that in 2 minutes. I don't know how specific I can be in 2 minutes, but I mean, we addressed the recycling program. Madison has the highest diversion rate of any community in the country, that the things diverted out of landfills, and we need to keep it that way, and we need to keep our strong recycling program. Secondly, with regard to land use, we made the largest conservation purchase in city history a couple years ago up at the Cherokee Marsh, and that also relates to water quality, because we know that one of the things that will keep our lakes clean is healthy, functioning wetlands. And that Cherokee Marsh purchase was about keeping those wetlands healthy and functioning. The governor's budget would devastate the environment. The governor's budget, in addition to destroying the recycling program, would, for all intents and purposes, eliminate phosphorus standards. And that's important because we need area-wide, regional-wide standards for pollutants, because the city of Madison does its part. Actually, we do quite well. But most of the pollutants going into the Yahara watershed actually come from the agricultural uses north of the lake. And so things like manure digesters are a good idea, but we need to have those regulations statewide in place. We need to fight what the governor's trying to do there. In terms of land use and air quality, and those things are related, the things we need to do in terms of, Joe mentioned the RTA, that's very important, because growing our transportation, our transit system, making it stronger, is one of the things that we can do to fight air pollution. There's a lot of other things, but my time is up.
Thank you, Mayor Cheslevitz. Former Mayor Soglin.
During the period of time that I was in public office and the city had the control over lakes, the area lakes, Mendota, Monona, Winger, et cetera, we had adopted very firm policies prohibiting the use of aquathol, 2,4-D, and other herbicides that were used to kill weeds in the lake. Very simple reason. One is because of their effect on the rest of the aquatic system, and secondly, because when they killed the weeds, all they do is drop them to the bottom, where then the nutrients simply fertilize the next crop of weeds. I don't know if you saw, but it turns out that there's been some testing and experimentation done recently in our lakes using 2,4-D again. Those of you who don't know, that's one of the essential components of Agent Orange. You can believe that as mayor, I'm going to do everything in my power to stop that kind of practice and to use the office as a bully pulpit to make it clear that that is contrary to the policies of the city of Madison. Now, the other objective I think we need to do in terms of our lakes is to set a goal that we will never have a beach closed because of some kind of bacterial contamination. That has got to be our goal. We've got to find the sources of these runoffs. We have to deal with the problems of geese congregating in a humane way. But we must make sure that our lakes are safe for kids and those of you who are over the age of 35 and still know and appreciate the lakes, the opportunity to swim in them. The second thing we have to do is address the question of the drinking water of our community. This is something that very clearly has not been resolved. And again, I'm getting a zero.
Thank you, former Mayor Soglin. Supervisor Breskowitz.
One thing that Dane County is blessed with is a beautiful environment. The Yahara chain of lakes, has been really mistreated over the years. There was a presentation that we looked at how phosphorus loading, how, Lake Monona used to be the Madison Metropolitan Sewerage District at one time. We've become enlightened over the years about how we can protect our environment. Fortunately, we do have in place many regulations at the federal, state, and local level that protect lands from being used in many cases for development because they are sensitive. The problems that we have with agriculture and the phosphorus runoff to the lakes is very real, and it's a real problem. It gets worse the further you go down the Yahara chain because that phosphorus concentrates as it moves from Mendota to Monona to Wabisa to Gaganza. There are things that we can do and we are doing. The lakes didn't get to be in bad condition in one day. It's going to take us a while to turn it around. I sit on the Land Conservation Committee. The newer farming practices and nutrient management systems that are required of all farmers are starting to really improve this. The manure digester, as long as it's done through private enterprise and not using tax dollars, I think that's a really good thing, and that's exactly what's happening now. This is something that we really have to stay on, because if we want these gems that we have in Dane County to continue to serve the people, we do need to make sure that our ordinances are strictly enforced, especially as it relates to phosphorus loading.
Thank you, Supervisor Breskowitz. Representative Parisi.
Thank you. My opponent made some very good points about phosphorus, yet in 2004, my opponent voted against a county phosphorus ban. Now, as a member of the state legislature, I voted in support of the state ban on phosphorus because we know that it is a root cause of what ails our lakes. Now, unfortunately, Governor Walker is overturning that ban. Now, what that's going to mean for Dane County, one of the many things it's going to mean, is there was going to be a lot of funding coming in for phosphorus reduction. And Madison Metropolitan Sewerage District looked at that and looked at, you know, how much it was going to cost to deal with that problem at the plant versus how much it would cost to deal with it at its root cause. And we could have saved tens of millions of dollars, pardon my Peter Brady, squeaky voice again. We could have saved tens of millions of dollars by using that money upstream to make buffers along stream banks to at once save sensitive lands and marshes and filter out and stop that phosphorus before it reached our lakes. So I think that was a big mistake there. I think it's a clear difference in philosophies. The governor has also pretty much decimated the stewardship fund. So it's going to be more difficult for us, but regarding land purchases, but we have to look at innovative programs such as transfer of development rights that allow farmers to still farm their land, but perhaps you either purchase the development rights like they've done in the town of Dunn, or you can transfer those rights and say, well, we want to keep this land and farm, but we'll transfer those rights you had to develop to another area that's more appropriate for developing. That way we can keep that ag land in ag and keep it on the local tax base also. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Parisi.
The final question of the People's Candidates Forum is going to serve as a closing statement. And don't get too excited, but we're going to give you 3 minutes each. The order for this closing question will be former Mayor Soglin, Mayor Chislevich, Supervisor Breskowitz, and then Representative Parisi. For your closing remarks, we would like you to tell us what is most often misunderstood about you or your candidacy that you would like to correct. Former Mayor Soglin.
Nobody understands me. This has been a lot of fun. And I want to thank you all for your patience in listening to us. I'd like to thank you for the very thoughtful questions, some of which I'd probably have to go back to one of my dissertations to answer. But it really shows the depth of concern, and it shows the fact that there are no simple solutions to complicated problems. It does take a lot of people. It is going to take the neighborhood activists, the developers within our community, the diverse group of people that make up Madison to really have this happen. I want to share with you the thought that it would be an honor to represent you and to represent this community as your mayor. The events that have happened in the Capitol the last couple of weeks have been tremendously invigorating. It shows the depth of concern and the breadth of our community. And I want to now point out that we managed, at least I did, managed to get through this 2 hours without once mentioning Governor Walker. So let me say this about Governor Walker, because the evening would not be complete. I've had experience during my tenure as mayor, 10 of the 14 years, working with Republicans in the legislature, working to actually solve problems at times, to do very complicated things involving something like changing the way our formulas for funding under the urban expenditure restraint program works, doing something like Monona Terrace, trying to solve problems involving landfill remediation, which was suddenly sprung on us in the mid-1990s. As I said earlier, in response to one of the other questions, to make a community work, to really get private investment, there has to be public investment in infrastructure, there has to be public investment in human capacity. From that, I will never waver. That is what makes a community special, whether the investment is in transportation or it's in the arts, whether it's in education or in making the community healthy. It is critical that we convey that. That's the message that we have to send to Governor Walker. That's the message that we have to send to the Republicans and the legislature. That is the message we have to send to people who put him in office. And they have to tell him, do not do this in our name, because we did not elect you to dismantle collective bargaining. We did not elect you to dismantle the environmental regulation. We did not elect you to destroy a recycling system that was created in this very neighborhood. This is where it all started.
And that's the end of your 3 minutes.
Thank you.
Thank you, former Mayor Soglin. Mayor Cislevich.
Well, what am I misunderstood about? I do this music review program on a local radio station. Some people misunderstand and think I know anything about music. I really don't, and that, I think it's become apparent. But the person who really understands me is my wife, Diane, who's out there in the audience, I think, someplace, or maybe she got bored and went home. I'm not sure. But Diane is the chief of staff for State Senator Fred Risser. And I got to tell you, I have never been more proud of 14 people than the 14 Democrats who bought us time to try to do the right thing. And I'm very pleased that Senator Risser and Senator Erpenbach and Senator Miller and Mark Pocan all support my campaign. And today I got a very special endorsement from Fair Wisconsin. And one of the reasons that touches me so much is because it speaks to the kind of society that I want us to have and that I think we do have and that we want to make stronger here in the city of Madison. Because if you look at what's happening at the state level from Governor Walker, it's really about saying no. It's really about closing down. It's really about turning in. And what a healthy society is, and I think what the city of Madison is a community that tries to say yes, and a community that tries to bring people in, and a community that says there's going to be a home for you, and there's going to be a job for you, and there's going to be an opportunity for you. That, I think, is the kind of community we want. And that's the kind of community that I want to govern, help govern, along with you, and make stronger over the course of the next 4 years. That's the vision for the future. And that can contrast with the vision that we're seeing from Governor Walker and so many folks in the state of Wisconsin. That's what inspires me. That's the reason to get up in the morning, to create a community that's even more fair, even more inclusive, and a community that even in every aspect, tries to find a way to say yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Cislevich. And Supervisor Breskowitz.
Well, I think the thing that most people misunderstand about me is what does a fiscal conservative What does that person stand for? That's who I am. I'm a fiscal conservative. And essentially what that means is I don't like to waste money. I don't like to waste my money. I don't like to waste your money. When we collect taxes, I have a great deal of respect for that those dollars that come in. I have a great deal of respect for what county government is supposed to do, what we're mandated to do, what we have a moral obligation to do, and what we can do to grow. And I'm talking about everyone, from the kid who's in school who really doesn't have a voice in the poll booth, to the seniors that are on fixed incomes, many of whom I talk to on some regular basis that are trying desperately to stay in their homes, but they got hit with that $600 or $300, whatever it was, that increase in their tax bill is just sending them over the edge. Those are the people that I listen to. As county executive, I would take that respect that I have for all of these people, but I would expand it to the business community. Many people feel, and I think this is a very sad misunderstanding, that somehow the business community is bad because they make profit. It's those profits that pay taxes. It's those profits that pay employees. It's those profits that invest in our future so that other people can have jobs. And I would ask for your understanding, not misunderstanding, but understanding about the entire situation that we're in right now. I am very optimistic about the future of Dane County. I think we are at a turning point. We can continue along the same trajectory, wanting to raise taxes and not feeling like we're taking enough from the community. We have to look at it so that we are real partners. Dane County, the municipalities, and like from Albion to Roxbury, probably areas that most of the people in this room don't think about. All of us working with the city of Madison and the county together, it's only going to be through a respectful relationship and a better understanding. And the last thing that I would like to correct about misunderstandings, I'm not Scott Walker.
Okay, thank you, Supervisor Breskowitz. And now Representative Parisi.
Thank you, and thank you, East Side, and all our guests who aren't from the East Side for visiting our neighborhood. We appreciate it. You know, it's funny. One of the things that I've been approached about during this campaign that had never come up in a campaign before, and in fact, a reporter asked me before this event tonight. Her question was, she said, "You know, you're such a nice guy. Are you tough enough to be county executive?" And it, you know, it's like, first, I never realized I was a nice guy, but how do you counter? Are you too nice to be county executive? Well, let me just say this: I hope I am a nice guy. I try to be respectful, but nice does not equal weak. Nice does not equal. Thank you. Nice does not equal dispassionate. I think I've shown my passion for that which I believe. In many times as county clerk and as a member of the Wisconsin State Legislature, most recently when I took part in a 61-hour straight session day fighting Scott Walker's budget repair bill. I've always been proud to take a stand, be it for LGBT rights as county clerk. That's why two have been endorsed by Fair Wisconsin. It's why I was named the 2006 Outreach Inc. Ally of the Year. It's the reason that for every term I've served in the legislature, I've been named a conservation champion by the League of Conservation Voters. It's why I received one of the awards that I'm most proudest of for my service in my last session, I was named a legislative champion by the Wisconsin Coalition Against Domestic Violence. I'm not afraid to take a stand. I find it an honor to advocate for the causes that are important to my community. And at the same time, I believe we can be respectful in our dialogue. We can engage in civil discourse when we agree, and as importantly, or even maybe more importantly, when we disagree. And if I'm fortunate enough to be elected county executive, I'll continue to advocate, and I'll continue to advocate for a process that respects everyone, those with whom I agree, those with whom I disagree. I believe everyone has something to offer. I believe we can come together to face the challenges that are ahead of us. And we do have challenges to face. But we've seen a perfect illustration of how not to face those challenges. And I want us in Dane County to come together and show the rest of the state and the rest of the world that we can face our challenges and we can get the job done the Dane County way. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure talking to you tonight.
Thank you to all the candidates.
I'm glad I'm not running for mayor or county exec, is all I can say. Tough questions, let me tell you. And I think it's safe to say that the recent development at the Capitol has made politics interesting again. So for those of you who are not keeping track, I think I counted Scott Walker mentioned 27 times tonight. And I'll mention him one more time. I just want to thank Scott Walker for galvanizing the community again. And for reminding us what democracy really is. So I thank Scott Walker for that. I also want to thank our moderators, Cynthia and Judith. The Barrymore Theater for allowing us to host the event. As well as WORT and WYOU for covering the forum tonight. I also want to thank the candidates for being here and giving us the opportunity to get to know you better. One of our goals in organizing this forum tonight was really to give residents an opportunity to ask questions of the candidates, but just as important, to hear what the candidates' response are to these questions, learn about their ideas and their vision and their stance on certain issues. This is just the beginning of a conversation that we as the public should have with our elected officials. Whoever wins, we need to, as the public, do our part to make sure that they follow through with their promises and what they stand for, to make sure the needs of the community is being met for all residents. And as I said, this is just the beginning, and we as the public needs to do our part to make sure we know our candidates before we go out and cast our votes. So tonight, I conclude our forum. I hope you found it interesting, enlightening, and informative. Touches on subjects that matters to you and important to the community. And I encourage you, after the meeting here, also to come and talk to your candidates. I won't speak for them, and I won't say they're going to stay, but I think as a candidate myself, I'd be more than happy to answer any questions that constituents have of me. But lastly, and most importantly, go out and vote on April 5th. So I'll end with no excuses. Go and vote April 5th. I thank you.